China unleashes billions to boost its ailing economy. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. $146 billion. That is how much Chinese officials are putting toward measures aimed at propping up an economy hit by severe drought, energy shortages, and, of course, an ongoing and strict zero-COVID strategy that's resulted in extended lockdowns across the country. The BBC's Monica Miller explains the lengths China is going to encourage more lending and spending.
They outlined a 19-point policy economic package that is really, hopefully, I think, going to help the infrastructure of the country. I mean, it's worth about $146 billion. It does cover quite a lot of territory, but really what we're looking at is a slowing economy. The numbers are starting to show that the world's second biggest economy is starting to definitely slow down and soften.
And a large part of this is not necessarily because of the same pressures that we've been seeing in places like Europe because of the impact of Russia's war in Ukraine, but because of China's very strict zero COVID strategy.
Not only just the zero COVID policy where, you know, you'll have cities like Shanghai completely locked down if there are just one or two or a handful of cases. They're also dealing with a massive property crisis, which has really propped up the heat of their economy. But also they're dealing with extreme weather patterns this summer. They have had heavy rains in the north and had severe droughts in the south. And there's a lot of factories in the south that depend on hydropower and the river that runs through it. The Yangtze is actually starting to dry up. So we're seeing that some factories have had to close down temporarily. We've spoken to analysts who say that, you know, we shouldn't expect too many production slowdowns on that end. But what we could see is inflation rise on food prices because there's a lot of fruits, vegetables, produce that come from the region.
So Chinese authorities are essentially just trying to get out ahead of all of that. And there's also problems in the property sector, which we have been talking about for months now. What measures is the government taking on that front?
They're looking at the infrastructure of the country in terms of its building, because a lot of projects that had been in the pipeline had kind of shut down overnight, so to speak. But, you know, you have some buyers who will never see their properties because the projects have stopped or they're in the midst of being built and the loans have run out. This is a massive problem because they now have a burgeoning middle class, and this is the nest egg for them. And if you don't have the real estate market boosted up, you're going to have a much bigger fall down, so to speak, in the economy when people can't have anywhere to invest their money. I mean, one thing that we did hear from officials there overnight is that they were looking at the June figures, you know, which are a bit anemic. And they said that, you know, even though that there was still some growth, they are looking at the picture down the road. And they said that that looks a bit rocky. So they are trying to boost up the economy as much as they can.
The BBC's Monica Miller for us. Thanks for breaking this down.
Thank you, Victoria.
Well, the announcement of those stimulus measures helped send the Shanghai Composite Index up nearly 1% today. Checking some other numbers, trading on Hong Kong's Hang Seng was suspended in the morning due to a typhoon, but it closed up 3.6%, notching its biggest gain since April, helped by a surge in tech shares. Meanwhile, upbeat earnings have sent European benchmarks up in the 0.1% to 0.4% range here today. President Macron of France is in the North African nation of Algeria today. It's the start of a two-day visit aimed at repairing relations, though discussion is also likely to focus on how that country can help Europe achieve energy security without Russia. The BBC's Hugh Schofield has more.
The last year has seen the perennially fraught Franco-Algerian relationship enter one of its darker phases, with Algiers taking great offence over remarks from President Macron that what he called the politico-military system in power there was still cashing in on memories of the 60-year-old War of Independence. For now, though, both sides seem to want to put that argument to one side and focus on rebuilding. For President Macron, Algeria's vast stocks of untapped oil and gas could well play a vital role in helping Europe through energy shortages caused by the break with Russia.
That's the BBC's Hugh Schofield reporting there. This week, we've been looking at the impact of 6 months of war in Ukraine. It hasn't just upended daily life in the country. It's also wreaked havoc on the global supply chain and those who work in it. The BBC's Frey Lindsay explores the effect war has had on Europe's agriculture industry.
This is the sound of mostly Ukrainian agricultural workers on a farm in Poland, a few hours out of Warsaw a couple of months ago.
We're already planting the plants to the coconut mat, and it is one of the most important parts during the whole harvest, because the good planting just means the good crop. And
say hello to Casper. He's the commercial director of this farm, which is his family's.
During the high season, it's not so hard for us, but after the season, we need for sure men. So about September or on November, it will be the hard for sure.
What Casper is saying there is that he doesn't have as many Ukrainian men working on his farm as he normally does. And you can probably guess why.
The fact that now we have the war in Ukraine, and predominantly because of the martial law, Ukrainian men are now engaging in fighting, the majority of them.
Roxana Barbalescu is Associate Professor in Sociology and Social Policy at the University of Leeds. The
Ukrainians in particular, it's a country of origin for many seasonal workers, of migrants who come in to work in agriculture. This has completely changed the direction, and now countries are looking to recruit from elsewhere.
With the war continuing, farms across Western Europe are struggling to get the workers they need. And in some cases, there's another element to all of this. And that's that the nature of seasonal work means many people go to the same farms every year. And as might be expected, relationships tend to form. Here's Nick Otterwell. He's farming director at Lawrence J. Betts, a major salad producer in southeast England.
It's been quite emotional because some of them are, you know, dealing with the sort of things that you can't imagine. And one guy that worked with us last year has actually been killed in the war, which was, you know, a bit hard to deal with, actually.
So, European farmers are struggling, but there's also the immense damage that the war has done to agriculture in Ukraine. And that makes it complicated for Ukrainian workers' futures, both at home and abroad. Markian Dmytrosavich is Ukraine's deputy agriculture minister.
It's really bad. It's very complicated to work in these circumstances. The government already started some state support program to give possibility for our citizens to come back and work in Ukraine.
And he's outlined there a lot of initiatives the government are trying to do to help prop up agriculture during the war. But of course, it's a war, and it can be hard to know what will happen in the future. I'm the BBC's Frey Lindsay for Marketplace.
You can catch an extended version of that report on our BBC sister program, Business Daily. Find it wherever you get your podcasts. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.